Greetings and welcome to the Tams Percussion Podcast. Don't forget to support us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Cast, and Anchor. Also, check out our Patreon and PayPal. For question, comments, or suggestions, reach us at tamsprecussion@gmail.com or on Instagram at tamsperkpodcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Tams Percussion Podcast. We are on episode 13. I'm Sky. And I'm joined by our very own Stu Lin. How are you doing today?
Hi.
So today we have some very special guests, plural, from my college, Vanderbilt College of Music. We have Marie, Taylor, and Delaney. How are you guys doing today? Afternoon.
Good.
Good, yeah.
So let's do a bit of brief introductions. Let's start with Marie. Tell us a bit about yourself.
What's your study? One
primary instrument.
Cool. Well, I'm Marie. I go to the same college as Sky, Vanderbilt College of Music. My main instrument is voice. So I'm actually a singer. So yeah, as we're going to get into, yeah, I'm a singer that loves percussion instruments, especially keyboard percussion. So yeah.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Thank you. Let's go, Delaney.
Okay. Hello, I'm Delaney. I also go to Vandercook. We've established that. And my primary is also voice.
Awesome. And Taylor?
Cool. My name is Taylor. I also go to Vandercook. I am a senior and I am a percussionist. And you're going to come to find out I'm actually talking about helping this ensemble. So I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah. Cool.
So a bit of context for today's special episode. I invited my friends here to talk about their experience being a percussionist. So both Marie and Delaney and a few of our other friends at our school actually who aren't percussion majors had learned how to play percussion instruments, both so like snare drum, timpani, accessories, keyboard, marimba, vibraphone, et cetera, et cetera. And at our school, we actually have a dedicated percussion ensemble for non-percussion primaries. So as we mentioned, Marie, Delaney, both vocalists, and I know both of you also play flute, and you also played other instruments in orchestra as well. So start with a few questions. What was your experience, or let's do one at a time. What was your experience kind of learning percussion? Like what were your first impressions? Was it like really difficult at first? What expectations did you have? What are things that you like? Just like all of that.
I can go first, honestly. When at our college, once we get to Vandercook, one of the first classes we have is percussion methods. So right out of the gate, like we're learning percussion. And honestly, I shared this with our professor, Dr. Yakis, is his name. I was just astonished by the musicianship one has to have while playing a percussive instrument, because you would literally think if you're not a major, like it's just a lot of hidden things, but it's so much more that goes into being a percussionist and playing the instrument. And that's something that I've come to respect and admire about playing the instrument. Yeah, that's pretty much my answer.
Yes, I love that answer. Thank you.
Well, I remember percussion tech. I remember first semester, it was really difficult because it was the first time I had experienced anything like this. And I remember it was really hard because our midterm was just all snare drum. And so we all, like all the non-percussion majors, we went up to Taylor actually, and we were like, how do we do this? And so we had like a masterclass with Taylor on how to do the snare drum midterm. And then when we got to final, we had to do it all over again. But I think accessories this time. Because first semester we learned a cymbal, triangle, and tambourine. And so there was always just a lot going on in percussion, but it was always a lot of fun.
So before we go forward, before we go any further, a bit of context, my college or our college, Vanderbilt College of Music, we only offer music education. We're very, We exclusively offer music education. So we're all ed majors and we're all required to take a percussion techniques class. So we have the first semester percussion techniques is all snare drum. The second one is all mallets, accessories, timpani, and everything else that gets missed. And percussion methods is a little more of that drum set and a little more teaching aspect of that.
I have a question for you guys. So like, which was, when you were learning, what was your favorite percussion instrument to play? And then what was your least favorite percussion instrument and why?
I'm laughing because I already have my favorite marimba.
Nice.
It's just something that, like, I don't know, it just came easy. Once, you know, we learned snare drum, we moved on to learning keyboard instruments. And, you know, I just built up a lot of technique and, you know, how to play a percussive instrument. So with that, and then, yeah, I love piano. So everything just transferred over. Worse, timpani.
Yeah.
I trust my ear, but timpani. Man, timpani can be hard.
Yeah. And actually, I mean, just to add on to what you were saying, like, there are some marimba vocal pieces, if you wanted to check that out. And there are a lot of marimbas. I think, like, Ivan Trevino has one where he's actually, like, performing and singing. And at first, I was like, what is this strange combination? But it's actually kind of cool. Yeah.
I think vocal and keyboard music is starting to become on a big... Yeah, I was about to say Dr. Vinay did PASIC. Ivan does it. I know, what was it? PASIC 18? It was either 18 or 19. Ivan did the opening number with Baila. Shout out to Ivan because he's one of the people that got me. His music got me into percussion music.
Catching Shadows!
Sorry.
I love that piece, but I actually love Into the Air more. I know some people are like, no, it's a bop.
I like Catching Shadows. A lot of people play Catching Shadows. We play Catching Shadows. Taylor play Catching Shadows.
Oh, nice.
I do like Into the Air. I need to learn that. That's a fun one. But yeah, vocal and like keyboard music is on the rise and I'm all for it. Delaney.
Sorry. I just wanted to like expand on that. Yeah, there was a session at PASIC that Delaney and I actually went to. Delaney went to PASIC, by the way. Ooh. But with Andrea Vinay, and there was like a ton. It wasn't just Andrea Vinay. There was a ton of people. And there, I just remember, I can't remember her name, but there was a lady that went up there and she did like vibraphone and she sang like a pop song and it was super cool and it sounded awesome.
Ooh. That sounds awesome. Yeah.
I think one of the smaller composers that come to mind right now is Arner Chu.
I've
on YouTube. His stuff is great. And he writes for 4 1/3 too, and that makes me so happy because we need more 4 1/3.
Yeah. He did a Charlie Puth cover, and I was like, I love Charlie Puth cover of, I think it's Boy.
That
song. And it's just like, it sounds so good. And they're singing, and they're cling and they're so talented and I'm so jealous. I love Charlie Puth too. Awesome. Oh, what are your guys's least favorite percussion instruments and favorites if you didn't say it?
I think my least favorite to learn was actually snare drum because I had a lot of difficulty with it, and then like halfway through the semester of learning it I found out that I have a cyst in my wrist, which made it really hard to play. I'm okay, but it may
be snare
drum, so, you know. And then I think my favorite is probably also marimba.
Yay, marimba. Marimba queen.
Rest in peace, me, drum boy gang.
I do like snare drum. I can.
Let's go, snare gang. Taylor, what are your spirit instruments?
I gotta go with marimba. It's home.
Okay, what's your least favorite instrument then?
Oh, that's hard. Honestly, probably it might be a tie between snare drum and xylophone, because xylophone is just like really loud. It hurts.
While we're on that topic of instruments, was there anything from percussion that you were able to kind of transfer into your primary areas, or vice versa, anything from your background experience in either in wind or singing that you applied to percussion, Marie?
I'm laughing because the first word I thought of was counting. Yeah, because as a vocalist, like I'm very dependent on like my ear sometimes, which kind of can't be good, because I need to actually practice and so on and so forth. But I can really just rely on the music heavily instead of just counting and being a part of the ensemble. Where, I had, X amount of, rest bars. I had to know when to come in and such. So I think, and pe preparing for like my senior recital, it definitely got me in tune to, counting and just when I would practice it, like I definitely improved.
We get a living salary to play seven notes and count 500 rests. So counting's crazy. And I don't know if you agree, or you probably experienced this too, Stu. And like the percussionists don't have a standard system of counting. There's like however many ways to count triplets. There's drumline, drum speak. There's Takadini. There's that. There's the. There's jazz. It's funny. Suwan, how do you count triplets?
Triplet, triplet, triplet. I'm boring. Well, how do you count triplets?
I do threes. I do one, two, three, two, two, three. Taylor,
Oh.
don't like that. Okay,
Okay,
Taylor,
sometimes I do that too.
Taylor, introduce us to the Fort Worth, Texas method of triplets.
One lolly, two lolly, three lolly, four lolly.
I
Whoa.
don't miss them, but you know what? We'll float your boat. I don't even.
That's cool.
I mean, the system works. I just don't like it.
Yeah, whatever works, honestly. Like with what do you call it? Quintuplets? Yeah, like I say, like opportunity or hippopotamus.
Our
It's like
teacher
one, two, three, four,
opportunity.
five, one, two, three, four, five. That's boring. Opportunity, opportunity. Okay, anyway.
Cool. Dwayne, did you get a chance to answer or the question about like transfers and transfer knowledge?
I can't think of any transfers from like woodwind to percussion, unfortunately. But same as Marie, the biggest transfer I got from percussion to like singing and other things was rhythm and counting and how to keep a steady beat.
Yeah, I mean, even just helping out with percussion ensemble too at our school, I've always been like a big supporter of telling a vocalist to do percussion ensemble too, because it really helps with your internal sense of time and rhythm. And I've seen people that like came into Vandercook that were vocalists that were like, I can't do this. And then they did percussion ensemble too, and they were like pros. So it's awesome.
Was there maybe like a specific instrument or maybe, yeah, a specific instrument that you were like, oh my God, I thought it was so much easier. 'Cause I really liked your comment, Marie, about like how you learn to like appreciate how kind of complex percussion is. Because it's not about just like, yeah, if I punch someone that is percussion, or like, yeah, I can just like play a triangle and it's just super simple. But was there like a specific instrument that you were like, oh, this is actually way more complex? Like, because triangle, yeah, you can just like hit it and it's very simple, but there's also like different mutings, there are different beating spots, and like all this kind of stuff. So I'm just curious from your guys's perspective.
For me, and it was kind of recent because we learned this instrument last spring. It was drum set. You see drum set in like a lot of things, especially a lot of modern things. And you think it's gonna be supremely easy, but then you notice there's more rhythms that go into it and more counting that you actually have to do to be on beat. And so I practice like like from the very first class that we had it, because I was like, this is hard. I need to get this. So I would definitely say drum set was a surprising instrument that I thought was going to be easier than it was.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of like different, somebody actually told me that timpani was like a drum set, which I'm kind of like, yes, in a way, like everything is like a multi-setup kind of, which is true, but yeah.
I feel like there are somewhere out there, I'm not very familiar, like somewhere out there, like there's timpani pedagogy that's like, it's not a drum set. You need to be like, each drum is its own thing. You got to give it its love. And somebody was like, yeah, you just kind of play it. Got to grab the whole thing. But yeah.
I would say, honestly, any of the accessory instruments, the triangle, tambourine, shaker, cymbal, all of them were infinitely more complicated than I thought they were going to be. Especially when we really got into them, and in percussion ensemble, like if you play with an accessory, it's wild.
I love how you guys have to do percussion ensemble. I think that's like so great, because it's like you're doing like chamber music, but like also you're just like learning about percussion.
Also, so on the while we're now on that topic, Taylor, would you care to introduce what percussion ensemble 2 is? Or a secondary percussion ensemble is?
Yeah, so at Vandercook, we have Percussion Ensemble 1, which is comprised of all the majors, and Percussion Ensemble 2, which is an optional course for people that are really interested in percussion and want to do it more. You can join Percussion Ensemble 2. So it's all secondaries. This year, we had a lot of vocalists in Percussion Ensemble 2, which was awesome. We had 2 saxophone players, 2 trumpet players, a violinist, and I think the clarinet. Oh yeah, bass clarinetist, and then the rest were percussionists. Oh, and a French horn player, or the rest were percussionists, were vocalists. They are percussionists though, because they were in Percussion Ensemble too. But it's just an ensemble where they can learn more about percussion, and they do more beginner percussion ensemble music. It's not easy though, it's still pretty difficult, and they just learn how to play percussion instruments in the context of an ensemble, which is the best way to learn percussion, because percussion in band, it's not the same as percussion ensemble. Like, percussion ensemble gives you the chance to learn more about the craft and grow.
Can you tell us some examples of like, just like some of the percussion pieces that you guys would play?
So this semester, they're actually gonna play at our Day of Percussion, February 12th, I think it is. But they're playing Disguised by Cliff Walker. What did they play? They played like, do you remember what they played in the past? I can't
remember the names. I know there was a Tycho piece that they did ago. There's a few quartets. There was a piece that they did for like our freshman year. There's a piece that they did for like 12 tambourines. And of course I'm drawing a blank with the name, but like they do a various amount of pieces. And another thing to add in there is we don't pick like, oh, we're going to have the secondary percussion ensemble. We're going to do like grade 1, grade 2 percussion ensemble music. Now we get real full arrangements, full difficulty. Obviously nothing crazy like Catching Shadows, but I mean, if they got Catching Shadows, they'll do Catching Shadows. But like it's real music written, like freshly written too. And it's a real thing.
Yeah,
like it's a lot of varied repertoire, contemporary, really far out there, atonal, just crazy drums to, you know, your solid standard.
Yeah, ensemble. There was actually one year where they did like a marimba or mallet quartet, and they also used boom whackers, which was super cool.
Oh.
Mallet quartet. Please write for more boom whackers. Keegan, write for percussion ensemble and boom whackers.
Keegan, hi. Please listen to us.
Cool. So Marie and Delaney, what were some of your struggles and experiences in percussion ensemble 2? And like when you were in those moments, how different were they compared to the other ensembles you were in? Like band or choir or orchestra? Or even like chamber groups?
Personally, I've never been in a smaller instrumental ensemble setting. It's always been vocal, so I'm used to being within a group of small people and, having one part and my part being really big in support of everyone else. And doing that on a percussion instrument, just with in an instrument that that's not my major, that I'm still working to get better at, was a little stressful, which is why I did kind of practice a lot on it, because just having to think of how my part go is in context with everyone else's. If I'm out of time just one time, it would wreck it. And that's something that I had to really nip in the mud early on. So that was just mine.
So I want to add on to, or ask something on that. How was it? So how was it listening wise in terms of the ensemble? Because like for percussion ensemble, it's always built a little different. You have to listen to different spots and like the roles trade around and like your bass instruments get the bass voices, your trebles get this, your tenors that. For percussion, it's always changing. Like the marimbas can have. You play the full range of the instrument, or you play in a wide range. How is kind of like the listening experience there?
I don't know. For me, the listening experience initially isn't so much different than being in a major ensemble, like band or orchestra. For choir, it works a little differently because you're not listening to individual people. You're listening to larger like sections in a choir. And sometimes in percussion music, you're either listening to like all the vibraphones or like you're listening to this person play this part. And so for me, I found it really helpful. If I needed to listen to a certain part, I'd like write in the name of the person who was playing it. So in my music, I just have like listen to Marie or something.
Yes, it's so good.
So I wish we were able to get either like Mandy or Bethany here, but like Taylor, what were some of like the things that like the people who are playing the secondary stuff? Because I know I wish that they were here so I could ask them, but how are they doing kind of like picking up like all the like the different like nuanced things? Because I know that they had to play with like some cymbals, some like non-traditional techniques. How'd that all work out for them?
Yeah, so I actually wanted to talk about this. One of the biggest struggles I've seen for secondaries or just percussion ensemble too is getting used to not just like the listening environment, but focusing on like 10 different things at once. Like, I know we do that in other ensembles, but it's a different level in percussion ensemble. Like, okay, I'm playing this part. I have to play piano. I gotta watch my playing spots. I gotta make sure that I'm staying this far off the board. I gotta make sure I'm still playing with good technique. All these, like, there's like 100 things going on at once. And that was just, I know that a lot of people struggle with that, especially in beginners. Like, I teach private lessons and trying to teach beginners, like, okay, yeah, you're doing great. You're making a great sound. Now try to focus on this while you're focusing on this. Just stuff like that was definitely a big struggle I saw. And something else that I always think is kind of funny is when like they have a part and they're like playing marimba and it's like, what says go to cymbal? Like, how am I gonna do that? It's like, okay, you have a measure and you need to like move as fast as possible to the cymbal and things like that. And that's just something that the secondaries aren't used to because they sing in choir, they just have one part. They play French horn, they just play with their horn, like just different things like that. So having to run over to the cymbal, run to the chimes, go back to the marimba, pick up some sticks and play the snare drum. It's always a little crazy for them, but they have a lot of fun.
My old percussion teacher used to be like if there was like a measure for like four rests or like yeah, four bar, wait, four bar measure rest? Yeah, or whatever. He was like, you have so much time. You could eat like breakfast, lunch, and dinner in that time. And it's just like, because like, when we were younger, we're like, oh my God, we can't get there on time. We can't move from marimba to cymbals. And he's like, no, let me show you how it's done. Boop, 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 and then crash and like whatever. So yeah, that I forgot about that. That is pretty tough. Taylor, I was wondering if you kind of noticed like if vocalists had like some tendencies while they were playing percussion, or like the saxophonist had some tendencies. Like, I don't know if that makes sense, if they're like, oh, you know, it's like the vocalist, they rush for some reason, or I don't know. It's kind of, I don't know, maybe it's too broad or whatever, but maybe did you notice anything like that?
Spill the tea. Spill
Yeah.
the tea.
Okay. I don't know if it was an individual thing or if this was
Right.
actually something, but something I do notice is that the instrumentalists have better hands than the vocalists do. And I think it's just the nature of what we do. Like, they play, you know, they move their hands, and like, so it just looks more natural. And the vocalists always have a little bit of trouble getting their hands into shape.
It's true.
Wow, it's funny that this is coming out now, Taylor. Just
We're gonna
kidding.
get in trouble
Wait.
for this podcast. Yeah, something that I always liked about percussion is that it's a full body instrument. I know that, I mean, vocalists, like, you engage the full, like, the full body's engaged. For most, like, for string players, same thing, like, arms engage, head engage. But it's more for us, there's a lot of movement, and our range of movement is depending on the instrument, spans the whole length of the instrument. And even like the smallest, tell me if you guys had experiences too, even like the smallest adjustment in the foot, like your footing, just makes everything change. And I remember, what was it? I think I was playing April Sky by Shin Chang Lin their freshman
I love
year.
that's a beautiful piece. I have it too.
It's hard. It was
I
too
love
hard.
the music for it.
It's too, it was way too hard for my freshman self, but I did it anyway. I'm just playing this part. I'm like, okay, what if I move my foot 1 inch to the left? I'm like, oh, this is so better. Oh my goodness. Did you guys experience any of that? Just like fine detail, holy grail. Sulin, do you experience that ever?
Yes. Yeah. I have a tendency when I'm playing like marimba that I need to like chillax out because I'm so focused on the notes. Like I'm like, oh man, no one can see me. But basically when I'm on the marimba, like I'm so short, I need to have my marimba shoes, which are basically just wedges, but I'm still like pretty short. And so I'm like my shoulders are like super up, like they're super high, and I'm just very tense. And the thing is, I just, you know, you just gotta chill and chillax and like just like lower your shoulders, lower your stick height, like lower your hands, use your wrist, don't use your arm, and like all these like little things, like part of like your body. Yeah, like what you were saying, Scott, like where you move your feet is like very important, you know? It's like the little details. And you know, all these things, they do add up and they help, and it just helps your body, you know, so that you don't get old and dying.
Yeah, no, I want to add on to that because that's true. Like, if you don't set something the same way you set it every time, it feels different every time. Like, I can tell if the marimba is like a little too high than where I normally play. And shoes are definitely a factor too. Like, before I play, like, for example, before my recital, like, I practice in the shoes I'm gonna wear because it makes everything feel different. And I actually want to go back a little bit to what we were talking about like the differences. So like at Vandercook, we have to do everything. We play all the instruments, we play in all the ensembles, and it's just like the nature of what it is. But like I said, the instrumentalists have better hands, and then the vocalists sound really good on wind instruments because they're used to the support and everything, and the percussionists tend to suck on the wind instruments. So I mean, it's just funny how things work out.
Yeah. Do you guys think it's weird that I don't know, like I had to for my symphony band, we had to blow I had to blow a train whistle, and I know that somebody else had to blow whoo, a gym whistle or whatever, but you know it's like I feel like we do it all. I mean, I couldn't blow into the train whistle because I have no lungs whatsoever, but I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. Yeah, you're right. I think percussionists maybe have a harder time like blowing things, I guess.
So I don't know if you remember from my the samba, the drum set samba piece I played on my recital. What was it? Blue Batucada by Paul Deathrage. What a wonderful last name. He wrote in 4 bars of a samba whistle. I mean, granted, it was in cut time, but if I did not have like a background in
samba whistle,
in like doing trumpet and all of that stuff, it would be a very sad samba whistle.
Yeah. No, it's like really good. I mean, like, I think it's so great, like I said before, that everybody's learning everything. Like, you guys have to take percussion ensemble and, you know, vice versa. And so that's super cool. And I think everybody should do that. That's, you know, that's awesome.
Now that I think about it, so we've interviewed a long number of people we're on our 13th episode, which I think is crazy. And by the time the day that this is recorded, our Josh Jones episode had just come out. A lot of the people we've interviewed, they actually didn't start on percussion. Like, that was not their first instrument. They started on piano. Michael started on piano. I started on trumpet. Like, everyone, it's more common for someone to have a start on a different instrument and then fall in love with percussion before. And then from there, it just takes off, and it could start from, you know, right at the beginning, as soon as, you know, you start. Or me, I switched to percussion halfway through high school. So I've been juggling trumpet and French horn until.
I didn't know this. Was I supposed to? Did you say this? I didn't know you played French horn and trumpet.
Well, I played trumpet most of the time. Yeah. I've been playing trumpet for, I guess, 11 years now. I started in the 5th grade. Story time. I have the speaking shaker. I brought it back. We're making it a thing now. Anyway, so 5th grade band, started on trumpet, went all the way to 8th grade. They needed French horn, so I made it. They asked me to see if I could switch. They said I could pull my weight, so I did French horn and trumpet for 3 years, and then there's this whole thing with marching band. I'm like, I don't want to do mellophone anymore. And I don't want to join the trumpet section. Let me try drumline. Didn't make it. Done. Okay, I'm going to take lessons so I can make it. Wow, I love percussion. You know what? Let's just do it all the way. Screw the French horn. I'm sick of playing upbeats. We're doing percussion all the way. Sorry, French horn people. You can't change my mind. It's all upbeat and long notes.
Yay.
Can't change facts. Anyway, and that's how I became a percussionist. Taylor, you said you started on trombone. What was your metamorphosis like?
Your experience, yeah.
Yeah, so in middle school, I actually wanted to play saxophone, but my teacher said I had to start on clarinet, and I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. So I played the trombone. I also, like, as the years went on in middle school, you were able to try, like, different instruments like tuba or horn, you know, as it developed, or euphonium. So I actually tried tuba and I didn't like it. So I went back to the trombone. And then I, for me personally, which I was going to ask you, Alfred, I'll ask you after I'm done. But for me personally, I was interested in percussion because you can play more than one thing. And I was like, well, I don't want to just play one thing. I want to play a lot of things. So in high school, I switched to percussion. Yeah, I switched to percussion and then never looked back. It was so much fun. Loved it. But Alfred, I wanted to ask you, what initially interested you in percussion?
I think for me, it's always been kind of the feel of drumming. I mean, even before band, like ever since I've been a small seven-year-old lad, I got my first drum set, and I just liked hitting things and hitting into rhythm and all about the groove. But you know, a lot of times how band camp, marching band camps work, you know, you split into band, bat, percussion, and guard. And then depending on how your system works, it was mainly winds for a long time. And then you bring in the drum line with the wind, it's just, whoa, everything's changed. And like, I wanted to be a part of the group. And then as soon as like I started, you know, in my course of before I made the full switch percussion, like I started playing all these instruments, realized this is fun. And like, it's fun to like do all of these things. And it's just a feel good instrument. That makes sense. But yeah, that's kind of what drew me to it. And as I got into it a lot more, you get to play all these instruments and easy. I feel personally for percussion, it's easier to have your own voice in percussion. Oh, this trumpet sounds like Arturo Sandoval or Maynard Ferguson, but the saxophone sounds like saxophone, the tuba sounds like tuba, but Keiko Abe on the marimba, Pius Chung on the marimba, and then you have Pius Chung on the xylophone. There's a huge, it's a giant canvas with a lot of colors to choose from. Is percussion. That's kind of what drew me to it a lot.
Oh, true.
But yeah.
Yeah, I remember when I switched over to percussion, the first thing was marching band, and we had to like audition or whatever. And on the sheet it said Taylor vibraphone, and I was like, what the heck is a vibraphone? I literally Googled it. That's like how little I knew when I switched. But yeah, you're right, there's like a huge like array of things. And not to take over, but I was also curious, Delaney and Marie, what interested y'all in joining percussion ensemble too?
I remember. So I joined percussion ensemble too for the first time my second semester here at Vandercook. And I think it was actually because Dr. Yakis walked up to me and he was like, "Hey, I think you should be in percussion ensemble too." And I was like, "Yeah, okay, sure." So I just joined for the fun of it, and then it was a lot of fun.
Yes. Woo.
Actually, kind of same here. Because there was one final that I did. I think it was the marimba final that we had in Tech 2. I'm trying to remember because years went by fast at our school. But like after playing it, Dr. Yax was just like, "Hey, you ever thought about like percussion ensemble too?" And I'm like, "No, but I'll look into it." And I looked into it, and it was really fun.
Percussion is the best.
I remember one of the first things that I did when I became when I officially made the list. Me started from the bottom. Now we're here. Became a percussionist in the second top band at my high school. I went through the percussion section and played with everything, as a percussionist should. Just find out everything we have. Play with it, screw with the slide and whistle, explore the shakers. Well, Sulin,
Yes.
what's your favorite percussion toy?
My favorite percussion toy?
Yeah,
Oh,
or just like
I have this banana shaker.
banana
I
shaker.
also really love wind chimes, which I kind of it's like a new thing that I was kind of like, it's so beautiful, but I was just playing like with a concerto competition for school, and like it has like wind chimes and like bell songs, or sorry, bird songs, just all these like different like pretty glittery chimes, and I just like realized like it's just such a nice, it's I don't know, like people have it just hanging up on their door, but like the sound is just so beautiful. They're like little, I don't know, that's how I feel like a fairy would sound like, if you lost your tooth. I don't know. That's my favorite percussion toy, I think.
Before I go on, so one of the people I met at PASIC, his name's Matt Schneider. You know him because he was in the marimba orchestra.
Wait, really?
Matt Schneider, glasses, tall.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Okay.
He came up with I ran into him during like in the expo hall. He bought the Steve Weiss conch horn, and I'm like, they had that at PASIC. I would have bought that in a heartbeat. It was great.
God.
I want one.
You
I think that would be like my all time. I need
Black Swamp has these castanets that are like this big, right?
yeah
Like I really want, but also I was at Guitar Center and they have mini bongos. So I kind of want to get like a set of like giant percussion instruments and then little percussion instruments and then teach my, I don't know, have like a squirrel play it or something. I don't know. Like train it. Man. Wait, okay. I have one more question for you guys. 'Cause should we be wrapping up? I think so.
Hold on, wait. Hold up.
Fine.
What are you guys' favorite percussion toys?
Wow. Yeah.
Accessories. I don't know. Things you find funny. Slapstick.
Metal scraper.
The siren.
Yeah, that's a great one. Ionization.
Yeah, that's cool. For me, I don't really know. I just think it's funny how much you can improvise with, like, just random things. Like, go to Home Depot and find something. Like, oh, this is a great sound. Like, my high school, we had these little garden spikes. And you would shake them and it would make, like, a tingling sound. It was, like, super cute. So just, I don't know, anything, like, weird. You just go buy it at Home Depot. I think that's cool.
We're past slapstick season. We can't have the 9 foot long.
9 foot?
Like ride slapstick.
Oh my god. That's
the motivator.
Oh my gosh.
Marie, do you have a favorite percussion toy, accessory, item, weird sound, flexitone, frog weirdo?
Banana shaker?
Banana shaker. Honestly, the tambourine. A classic. It's like every time, you know, when we get to tambourine and percussion tech, we do this one song. One of you can jump in when you know it. It's the one where we have to like flip the tambourine over.
Oh, it's a Nutcracker.
Yeah, yeah. And like we did that for the first time. Well, my first time doing it, I was like, whoa, huh, this is cool.
Nice, yeah. I love that percussion is so like versatile too. Like, you don't even need instruments. You could literally, I was recording some sounds and like I didn't have instruments, so I was literally like hitting like metal cans and just like literally hitting my couch, and I just put it through Logic and it sounds so great too. So like honestly, anything you can get, there's like flower pot music. My friend, shout out to Clark Hubbard, he made a piece over quarantine called Soda Song. So it's like he made a piece that you could just, anyone can play it, anyone can learn it, because you know, you just need soda cans, or you can just find random objects. You can hit people and they'll scream in a different pitch, and it's kind of like a marimba. I'm not saying that you should, but I don't know.
There's a percussion ensemble piece that I listened to my junior year of high school called Workers Union. And all you have is pitch. All you have is pitch percussion, but you don't, it's not a staff. It's just the notes. And I was visiting the Eastern Illinois University percussion ensemble. I can't remember the director's name. Jamie Ryan, I think his name. And you had people on marimba, vibraphone. Professor Ryan was on a set of octobons, the little 6-inch long toms.
Mm-hmm.
Had people on cajon, power pots, log drums, and like anything that you can have this many pitches on it sound, you can play it on that. And I think that's like the coolest piece. I want to play it. Sorry, Sue, when you had your question.
I had my question. How rude. No, I'm just kidding. Or unless we already asked this question, but I can't forget because I can't remember because anyway.
Just
blah, 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 blah. How do you guys practice? I'm curious. Like, you know, how does like a non-percussionist practice music? And maybe it's like such a simple answer, but I don't know. Like,
I too would like to know how to sing.
Like, you know, as like a vocalist, maybe you sing along and then do like scales or something like that, rather than using a metronome or something. I don't know. Yeah.
I actually just was practicing one of the etudes for the percussion comp, which is a thing we have to do as seniors. So I guess I can talk about what I did for that. So when I initially read through it, I like went to the marimba and I had the two sticks and I looked at it and I said, those are some notes. And I tried playing through it, not with a metronome, not with anything, just to figure out what the notes were. And if any of them were really like tripping me up, I wrote in the note name, which I know you're not supposed to do, but
oh well. And so like that was the initial read, and then when I went to practice it again later, I put on a metronome because I know it's really important to keep time, and like that was the goal for it was to play it in time. So I just like did a measure at a time and played it in time. And sometimes if I mess up, instead of playing the note, I'll just sing the note because I know what it's supposed to sound like, and I'll panic, and so I'll just sing it instead.
Nice.
See, like I would do that too, but also I sucked at rhythm and keeping in time, and especially with learning my part. So I took the method, like I would use the metronome a lot of my practice time, and I would like start off by going super slow, and then the moment I got everything down in one tempo, I just kept on increasing it like 10 clicks.
That's how you guys should practice. I should do that, but I don't. But yes, I mean that's like some top tips right there.
Yes. So something that I notice that sometimes gets overlooked is that percussionists don't get enough ear training. As they're like, depending on like what bro, we don't get enough ear training. So like a lot of times, oh, we're gonna have timpani for this beginning band piece. So what do you do with the percussionist who has the timpani part? The director goes to the timpani, sets the timpani, tunes it, has them play, and then like they never get to do anything that has to do with them. You could not even tune the timpani and then just play right drum, left drum. They wouldn't know the difference. We hit stuff that looks like the right piece of wood, hit it. They didn't, band director didn't say it's wrong. So that's not, we don't, we're not forced to audiate sound before we play it. We just hit stuff. And then, because I had background in choir and like singing when I did stuff, being able to sing something is such a useful skill for any musician. I remember like trying to cram this recital music last semester, just like being able to sing this part, even just like roughly, kind of was able to help me, put together phrases instead of going note by note, hacking away at four mallet marimba. I don't
Okay.
know if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, and like Sky, just to add on a little bit, like when I was trying to learn this piece for a music festival. It was the Bartok Concerto for Orchestra, I think, for Aspen. Anyway, but so there were four drums, and then each of them had to be tuned to a different note, like after like a note or whatever. So basically, it's just like. Kind of, you don't, I guess, like, well, I never really thought about it, but like timpani, you can have your A, B, C, D, whatever, like the scale, and then the same thing on the next drum, but actually, it's, oh my God, I'm trying to explain it better, but anyways, so it's like you can tune, let's say, like an A on the highest drum, but maybe for the context of the piece or just like the tone quality that you want. Maybe you should actually play the A on like the third drum instead because it's kind of like, and I don't know if you guys know this, but like the lower Sky, I what do you call on the, oh yeah, on the gauge. So the lower the letter is on the gauge, it's gonna be, the head is actually gonna get looser. And so maybe it's better to actually play it on a lower drum so that the gauges, so like A, for example, is actually on the higher end of the gauge and it has like a tighter head. And yeah, you can have an A on like the third drum and the fourth drum, let's say, but it's like all about that tone quality and like what sounds
Yeah,
right
and I
in.
think it was John Tafoya, maybe that I saw a timpani clinic, and they're talking about like that. I think kind of decision between the lower drum or lower tension versus higher tension has to do a lot with clarity too, Taylor.
Delaney had a great
I had
transfer.
a transfer. It's like how you could sing a note in chest voice, but the note would sound better in mixed voice because of the next passage.
Or she also said, or an orchestra, where like
Yeah.
you could play something on a different string instead of an open string because it'll sound better, just stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sewell and bassist.
What?
Didn't you make like an
Oh
Instagram?
my
You're playing your
God.
bassist now?
No. I did. I did. I on my Instagram, I made like a I'm a bass player now because my boyfriend's a bass player and we were doing like a photo shoot and I was like, I'm gonna pose next to this bass and pretend. Yeah.
Majestic.
I still like
Treat
the
it with that.
basses are heavy. I don't know, that's too heavy. Timpani
Just
are
be.
heavy. I don't know. Percussion, you do get like muscles though. So like that's why you don't need to go to the gym. You just need to lift up some timpani, some tom-toms, and you're good to go.
Yes. All right, guys. Or one. Let Thank you guys again so much for coming on to the podcast.
Gonna
So
wrap
thank
it
you,
up.
Murphy. Thank you to Taylor. Thank you, Delaney, for your time. It's great, to pick the minds of non-percussionists, coming into the percussion world. Thank you, everyone, listening to the podcast. Don't forget to check out our Patreon, our PayPal. We are working very hard on trying to figure out merch. So stickers might be coming out soon. Don't forget to check out our Instagram link tree. We now have a Facebook page. Don't forget to follow us there. And without further ado, don't forget, stay grooving.